Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. An unusual story is told by Douglas F. Storer, author of Amazing But True. It relates to Benjamin Harrison, who was once President of the United States. When the University of Georgia built its medical school, it invited the governor to tour its new buildings. During a tour of the medical school morgue, they were inspecting the building when one of the reporters noticed some movement under one of the tarpaulins that covered a body. Occasionally, bodies are brought in for students in their study of anatomy. As soon as the governor left the room, the medical staff went to work on this one body in which there was notice of life. The man was revived and fully recovered. In fact, this man went on to become the President of the United States. His name was Benjamin Harrison. How he came to be in that morgue on that day remains a mystery that historians never mention. Well, similarly, there seems to be a possibility that a world leader eventually will be assassinated. The nation will mourn his death when it will suddenly be noticed that he begins breathing again. What actually happens is that Satan enters his body as he entered Judas, and the man lives in the power of Satan himself. Of course, he will relate how destiny determined that he survive, that his wisdom was needed, that fate would reconcile the problems of the world to a successful conclusion, mainly as a result of his efforts. This man we call the Antichrist. His miraculous resurrection from the dead will cause the whole world to wonder after the beast whose deadly wound was healed. Well, Satan's masterpiece will fool many. By his trickery, he will claim there are those who are troublemakers, and he will order their execution, for they oppose his regime. Jews likewise will be persecuted and killed. This is what we might expect to see happening in the day when great tribulation prevails upon the earth. Dr. John Welvord says in his book Armageddon, "The world today is like a stage being set for a great drama. The major actors are already in the wings, waiting for their moment in history. The main stage props are already in place. The prophetic play is about to begin." Perhaps you ask, who are the main characters? Bible students know one is destined to make his appearance, who is the Antichrist world ruler. Another is his colleague, called the false prophet, says Walvoord. "The coming world dictator cannot make his decisive move until the church is removed. Only then will Satan have a free hand to manipulate history with the forces of evil." We might ask, how close are we to the coming of Antichrist? Could it be that this personage is somewhere in the world today, ready to make an appearance? Well, Dr. Charles Taylor, in his book Get All Excited, Jesus is Coming Soon, calls attention to the possibility that such a person of renown is living today who may have the credentials of one destined to be ruler of the world. He writes, "There is a man alive today with extremely high and very unusual qualifications who could become the king of the soon-to-be-revived Roman Empire." Well, Jean Dixon, in her biography, A Gift of Prophecy, says a baby that was born on February 5, 1962, will grow up to be the Antichrist. Later in My Life and Prophecies, she declares emphatically, "There is no doubt in my mind that the child is the actual person of the Antichrist, the one who will deceive the world in Satan's name." St. John of the Cleft Rock, writing in the 14th century, stated, "About the year 2000 A.D., Antichrist will reveal himself to the world." The Reverend R.W. Niebuhr has written, "The world stage is being set for the Antichrist. The time is not far away when there will be one world politically, religiously, socially, and economically. Then the world dictator will assume control. Dr. Taylor, whom we mentioned a moment ago, is not dogmatic in positively identifying the personage we call the Antichrist, but he does conjecture that a man living today would be qualified for this role, that if heading up a revived Roman Empire, which could be the United States of Europe when it comes into being. Although Spain has made legal the Communist Party and held its first elections in 40 years, Dr. Taylor sees one Carlos I, the King of Spain, as highly qualified. Born in Rome, he's the most highly trained military ruler in Europe today. With Spain seeking membership in the Economic European Community, or the Common Market, the possibility exists that he may become the ruler of this august body, hence the ruler of a revived Roman Empire predicted in the Scriptures. Though coming from Spain, Carlos bears the honorary title King of Jerusalem, protector of Holy Land interests. Could Juan Carlos I become the Antichrist? Indeed, time will tell. Some might believe a personage such as the Antichrist would come out of Russia or China. Of course, the Bible would indicate he will make his appearance as a wolf in sheep's clothing. He will be a warrior but appear as the world's peacemaker. As the late Fulton J. Sheen, well-known Catholic prelate, put it, the Antichrist will not be so called, otherwise he would have no followers. He will wear no red tights nor vomit sulfur. He will come disguised as the great humanitarian. He will talk peace, prosperity, and plenty, not as means to lead us to God, but as ends in themselves. Now concerning the one we call the Antichrist, we read in 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, Little children, it is the last time. As ye have heard that Antichrists shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Did you hear it? Now listen as we see how we might identify an Antichrist. We read they went out from us, but they were not all of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. The Douay version of the Bible comments in a footnote, saying of these antichrists, they were not solid, steadfast, genuine Christians. Otherwise, they would have remained in the church. Likewise, the Schofield reference notes comments on Antichrist is representative of one who once knew the reality of God and of the true gospel, but departed from the truth into counterfeit Christianity. Well, the Antichrists of which John speaks were once closely aligned with Christianity. Their main distinction that sets them off as apostates is that they did not continue in fellowship with the apostles. For John declares, they went out from us, but they were not all of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. The Antichrists of whom John writes pose as Christians. They have a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, and thus deny the vital, living, saving faith of Jesus Christ. The word anti means against or over against. My friend, somewhere in the world today there's an impostor, one who may pose as a pious, peace-loving disciple of our Lord. He may be none other than Satan's masterpiece, the son of perdition, the Antichrist. As Antichrist, he'll seek to appear as the Messiah to Israel. One of his first acts is to make a covenant with Israel, a covenant of peace and protection. He later moves his palace to Jerusalem and proceeds to set himself up in the temple there, where he proclaims himself in royal pageantry and power. As the Apostle Paul says of him, As God, he sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. D.M. Panton, British prophetic writer, says, The drama begins by the Antichrist getting control of the Holy Land. The assassination by his own hand of his only two opponents in the world, wielders of vast plague and judgment, leaves this man of sin master of the Holy City. Now the two opponents are the two witnesses, which some say is Enoch and Elijah, who are slain, their dead bodies lay in the streets of Jerusalem to be witnessed by the whole world. Then after 3.5 days, life from God enters their bodies. They're resurrected. They're seen caught up into heaven. We know that Antichrist meets his Waterloo at the Battle of Armageddon. Revelation 19:19 finds John writing, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone." Thus you see the doom of the one we call the beast, a ferocious character who is in reality the Antichrist. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, points out that Christ's return will be most significant. He will overthrow all man-made authority of every kind. "For in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords." In closing, we might ask, are you a true follower of Jesus Christ? Have you yielded all to him? Is he the Lord of your life? Vance Havner once wrote, "The real issue today is not Russia or the atomic bomb, important as they are. The issue is Christ or Antichrist, God who became man, or the man who will claim to be God." My friend, today, if you've never done so, bow before him. Recognize Jesus is all in all. He is more than he ever claimed to be. He is the Son of God who became man that he might redeem each of us, that we might be made sons of God. John 1:12 says, "To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Will you trust Christ today as your Savior? Surrender your all to him as your Lord? If so, pray this prayer. "Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you shed your precious blood for my sins. I invite you into my heart and life to live for you and to receive from you eternal life. Thank you for saving me. Amen." Well, friend, pray that prayer and mean it. Then live for Jesus every day until he comes, for he is coming soon. And remember, he hath said, "Be therefore ready also, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh."
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the Internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.